Just want to begin with a special thank you, because having had this opportunity this year has been a great gift, and I appreciate it very much. And I will certainly miss all of you during the next couple of weeks while I will be disappeared. But first of all, you'll be in great hands with Rabbi Zucker, who will pick up next week, please God. And hopefully, if you haven't forgotten me by the fall, we'll be able to reconvene.
Not likely.
So I don't take anything for granted, you know what I mean? So today we're going to continue our discussion about Emunah, focusing on on components of Emunah. So in the page in front of you, there is this brief selection of the Rambam in his commentary on a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which is very timely because many people have the practice of studying Pirkei Avos between Pesach and Shavuos. And the Mishnah teaches us that there are three things that remove a person from the world. And the Rambam's formulation was, on line number four, Yafsid emunas haTorah behechreach, that that person who pursues and becomes absorbed in these three areas will lose their emunah of the Torah. We have another one here, Habakkuk. So the question is, what are these three items, and how are they correlated to a person's emunah? So the three things are kinah, which is jealousy, taiva, material desires, and kavod, honor. So move down to the third paragraph that starts with the word hata'ava. So Rav Volpe is going to explain to us how each of these three areas erodes our emunah, and a person who's drawn after these things, they obviously need to really recalibrate what is important to them in their life. Hata'ava l'cheftzei haguf, the desire for physical and bodily pursuits. Minugedes, it opposes l'hashrashas ha'adam ba'olamo haruchani asher sham mekomo. Now, this does not mean that a person doesn't live in this world. There is a Talmud Yerushalmi, the end of Maseches Kedushin, that says that after 120 years, a person will appear before the Ribbono Shel Olam, and one of the questions that he has asked is whether or not you enjoyed all of the beautiful aspects of the world that Hashem gave us. There's an apocryphal story, unquestionably apocryphal, but it's a true message, whether the story is true or not, that Rav Shamshon Rufal Hirsch once traveled from Frankfurt to Switzerland, and someone saw him and asked what he was doing in Switzerland, and he said he came to see the Alps. And they asked him, well, why would you go see the Alps? He says, I live in Frankfurt, and after 120, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to say to me, did you see the beautiful Alps that were right next door? So how could I miss out on that opportunity? So this is a question of context and focus. What Rav Volpe is describing here is a person whose life is focused on, and his goal or her goal in life is the pursuit of material pleasure. That is competing with a person's spiritual values. It doesn't mean that there is not a place for, you know, physical aspects. You know, Simchas Yontif is a perfect example. Now, according to, there's a discussion in the Gemara, there are two different opinions of how to observe Yontif. One opinion is that you're supposed to either spend your time learning all day or spend your time eating all day, and we don't accept that opinion. We pass like Rabbi Yeshua that chalkeu, part of this time is supposed to be davening and learning, and part of the time is supposed to have a nice meal. A nice meal, that's part of Simchas Yontif. So we don't eschew physical enjoyment and physical material aspects of life. But is that the main thing? Is that when we wake up in the morning? For many people, a delicious cup of coffee gets them going in the day, right? That's the thing, right? For some people, they can't function without a cup of coffee. Some of us, we don't drink coffee, so we respect those who do. We don't really, you know, it's okay, to each their own. But to say that you get up in the morning and the Ribbono Shel Olam gave you a life so that you can drink coffee, I don't think that's in consonance with the Torah living. You know, you could say, it's, you know, one of the great gifts the Rebbe Shalom gave the world is Starbucks. Why? Not so much because people need more expensive coffee, but because it's an opportunity for Avas Reim, for people to get together. The coffee is just a hechetimta, you would say in the Gemara, it's just a mechanism for people to create friendships. So that's probably why it exists, not just for coffee. Half the people don't even like it because it's too strong, it's too this, it's they can't translate the words. I've gone in there. You ask them just for a medium, and they try to translate that to you into Starbucks language. That's probably, you know what I'm talking about? It's various Italian formulations for whatever you want to get. The point is that are we living for the material, the physical, or is that an appendage, or that's ancillary to Tzigizund, the central reason why we live, which is... What's that?
I thought you were going to say the gold stars are like...
Okay, could be. Good. I like it. I didn't even know there's such a thing. Is that a thing?
Yeah, you get a free drink.
Okay, now we're talking.
I thought that was your parable.
No, that's good also. That's good also. I didn't even know.
When you are too far?
Good question. So it's very difficult to know because it depends on the person. And it depends on the circumstance and the time and the place in the person's life. You know, at one stage, a person, or even before the stage, there's some people who their natural being, they need more calories and they enjoy food. And that's part of their personality. They're foodies. That's the way the Rebbeinu Shlomo made them. And you can see that even with young children, that's how they are. And then there are other people who probably the Rambam would be very proud of their diet because they eat just the bare minimum, you know, like they're not tempted to go to the restaurant ever, and the food is not. So that differs from person to person, right? And then even in terms of a person's stage in life, it's hard to know. It's very hard to know. I guess the litmus test is always, why am I doing this? So the Pius Etzner, the Holy Rukon of Iskalman, Zichron Levrach, Hashem Yikom Damo, the Rebbe of the Warsaw Ghetto, so he writes that in the Chovos HaTalmidim for students, he writes that it's good for boys to play ball. And that is part of their Avodas Hashem. Their spiritual development is the opportunity to play ball. The question is, why do you play ball? If you're playing ball because it feeds your ego, that's probably not a healthy exercise of your time, use of your time. But if you play ball because it's good exercise and you can develop good friends and you can air out a little bit, and that is part of your overall development of your Avodas Hashem personality, and the way that you play ball reflects your being a true Eved Hashem, so the way that you interact with other people, the kinds of people that you play with, all those, the how components of it, so then that's a different kind of experience. So that's the million-dollar question. It used to be the $64,000 question. No one goes for that anymore. So now it's the million-dollar question. In 2 years, it'll be much higher. That's the difficult journey that everybody needs. That's why in many Svarim, they're focused on reflection, on what we call in Hebrew, cheshbon hanefesh, introspection. Because nobody can assess for anyone else what the right recipe is and what the right balance is of aspects of their life, because nobody, it's Levi Dan Maras Nafsha, only you know yourself. You know the stage in life that you're in, so you know what is necessary. You know, it's a really good question. How much vacation time do we need? Well, that's really a subjective question. How healthy am I? How stressed out am I? How many commitments do I have on my plate? Who are the people that are going on vacation? Like, all those questions are difficult questions, and they're only answerable by a person in their own heart and their own relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that is what we want to strive to do, is to constantly be reflecting. The Mesillas Yesharim, early on in the Sefer, this is Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato's classic work on personal moral development, spiritual development, he says one of the challenges that we have is that we are always rushing. That was in the 18th century. We're always rushing. So he says, we never have time for self-reflection. So one of the tricks of the Yetzer Hara, he says, is to keep going from one thing to the next and never think about why we're doing what we're doing. What if we took a step back and asked ourselves, why do we do what we do? You know, how much time do we invest in A? And then how does that affect B? You know, where we appropriate our time is a reflection of these questions. You know, a person can go to the gym because going to the gym is a mitzvah d'oraisa. V'nishmarta b'olanav shoseichem, to do proper exercise. You know, that's, you know, but how much time does a person need to spend in the gym? You know, that depends on your cardiologist and your, you know, your personal family health history, all these kind of things. So that's probably the question itself. That's the secret to growth in Avodas Hashem. If we're asking ourselves that question, why am I going to this restaurant? Am I going because I need a break? I need to spend time with this person. I could use a delicious meal to get me back a little bit more energy so I could do what's important in my life? Or do I spend my life running from one restaurant to the next? That's the question we got to think about. So that's the first element, he says. The taiva lechefzei aguf, you know what it demonstrates? It demonstrates where your world is. A person who is totally focused on a world of physicality, that means that they define their existence as being physical. And that is the challenge to emuna. What is emuna? Emuna is about being rooted in a spiritual world, a transcendent world, not a physical world. And if that's your world, then the goal, a goal, a primary focus in life is what he quotes in the Chovas HaLevavos here on the second time, second line of Zlaham Shel HaSeichel B'chol Taivas HaNefesh, is to make sure that what's driving us, and psychologists have identified this dichotomy between different parts of our brain, the hot part of the brain that's driven by instinct versus the cold part of the brain, which is driven by rational logic. The Taivas, the base desires, those are the more, I mean, some of them are spiritual also, but they're more related to the this worldly experience. But if we have a world of emuna, a world of living with Hashem, of spirituality, so then our goal is to have our intellect and our thought and our seichel rule over those. And that's essentially what you were alluding to before, which is, are we calibrating that this material pursuit is in line with our spiritual pursuit, right? If our root, our core is emuna, then that means that our seichel is the driver. So the seichel is going to dictate the guf. If the seichel is dictating the guf, then it's good. Then you know that the guf is in line with what you're doing. But if it's the guf that's dictating the seichel, if it's the physical body, the word guf means a body. It's if it's the material that's driving the intellect, then you know that you have a problem. That's going to be the challenge, is to make sure that our intellect, our emuna, that's in the driver's seat. That's the first observation. That's taiva. That's number one. Number two, let's skip to the next paragraph. Hamashtis es she'ifas chayav. A person, the word lahashtis means to, it needs to, it's a hard English word. Imagine the word foundation was a verb. To foundation. To build your foundation. Like Evan Shtia, the foundation stone on the Temple Mount, the Dome of the Rock. It's, if you foundation your life, lehashtis, es she'ifas chayav, the desires, the aspirations of your life, al kinas ishmerei ehu, on looking at what other people have and being jealous of them. So what does that do, says Rav Volvi? That erodes another aspect of emuna, so same befun of. It closes in front of you as haderech, the mechanism, the way, lahakaras hahashgacha, to believing and living with hashgacha. Hashgacha means supervision and intervention from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we really have a world of emuna, emuna at its core is the understanding that the Ribbono Shel Olam, that God is Melocha la'aretz kavodo is or ein sof is endless light. And so that means that there is no leis atar panui mine is the Aramaic expression. There is no place empty of God. The Ribbono Shel Olam is everywhere and ever present. That is what enables everything to exist. Now the fact that he chooses to hide himself and enable a physical natural world doesn't mean that he's not there. And there is the concept of hashgacha, that the Ribbono Shel Olam pays close attention. So the Gemara says in Brachos, for example, that a person who devotes a portion of their livelihood, their parnasa, to celebrating Shabbos and Yontif, so then that doesn't count to the amount of sustenance that God had ordained for that person at the beginning of the year. But we know there's special hashgacha on every person. Every soul is connected to Hashem in a unique way. And at the beginning of the year, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Gemara says that every person has their allotment of what they're going to have for that year. Doesn't mean that it can't change. As our relationship with God changes, as our tefillah changes, as our merits change, so that equation can change. But there is a whole set, there's probably some divine matrix, some algorithm for how much you're supposed to get over the course of the year. And don't worry, they have lots of different mechanisms to allocate that. There's the mechanic, there's the, you know, the washing machine, fix it, man, bill. There are a lot of ways to calibrate a person's income on a given year that their Ribbono Shel Olam has. But Shabbos and Yontif doesn't count, and Hotzos Bono, the Talmud Torah doesn't count. That's a personal relationship that I have with God. If I'm looking at everybody else, then where did that go? What happened to that personal relationship that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave me this year, what I'm supposed to have for what I need to accomplish? Why am I looking at that other person? It must be that the orientation toward that person demonstrates, it must be that I'm not really focused on what the Ribbono Shel Olam gave me for this year that's appropriate for me. Now, of course, like with everything, it doesn't mean that if we one time see that person drive out of their driveway with that car that we really were hoping for and didn't materialize for whatever reason, that doesn't mean that we're lost and gone forever. We have no emuna, right? Let's be clear about that. Let's not lose our bearings. But reminding ourselves what our relationship with Hashem is and how Hashem gives us what is appropriate for us at any given time, at any stage in our lives, that's part of emunah. So emunah number one, aspect of emunah number one related to taiva, which is that making sure that we are rooted in a spiritual world, which is hard because the world that we live in doesn't at least openly value spirituality, and forget that it doesn't value it, the nature of a physical world doesn't manifest spirituality very readily. We live in a physical world, so we have to, in this stage in our lives, when we go to the next world, then it's obviously we're only in a spiritual world, but now emuna means recognizing the spiritual dimension of life, that is what real life is about. And then the second one is that recognizing that there is hashgacha, that there is a relationship and there is a correlation between my life and what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants me to have. It's inscrutable, it's hard to understand. Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mi yiras shamayim. Why one person is blessed with very substantial wealth and another person is struck with abject poverty? We don't know. But we know that that's hashgacha. We know that at the beginning of the year, the Ribbono Shel Olam designed that person should have that lot, whatever it is. And that's part of the plan for this person's development of their neshama, that they can bring godliness into the world in their way. That's number two. Then, let's go to number three, the final one. Kavod. Next paragraph, Hamevin. Hamevin umakir. Somebody who understands and recognizes. Ki olam hazeh u olam ha'avoda. This world is the world of work. This is where we labor. This is where we toil. V'chi gemul ha-tzadikim shamar lahem la'olam haba davka. And the true reward for the spiritual achievements that we garner in this world is in the next world. That is very important in a person's calibrating themselves in terms of their own self-worth. Why do we chase after kavod? Partly because we struggle with self-esteem, and partly because we feel, well, this is the world that matters. And so if I'm in a prominent position in this world, that signifies an accomplishment. But what if we thought that this world didn't really matter at all? If what mattered was the next world, then would it matter to us whether we were on the cover of the magazine in the checkout line? And people read these magazines because they're interested in the people who have covered. That's a much bigger discussion than the Starbucks gold stars. You know what I'm saying? That's like a whole nother, you know, why we pay attention to even to the cover that these people get is separate. You know, that's a whole nother. But if we said that what matters is the next world, like the Gemara says, one of the great sages had a vision of the next world, and they found that Elyonim Lamata and Tachtonim Lamala. They found that the value system was totally opposite. That in the Olam HaEmes, when people go on the checkout line in heaven, when they're going to check out, they don't see those faces. They see a face, Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, and then they see like Reb Shimon Shkop, and they see the Rambam. Some of the Rambams, you know, like maybe an open shirt. That's otherwise, what are they going to put? Maybe that's not so nice to say. It's not right. But he lived in Egypt. It was hot. Just saying. We'll have to strike that from the record. Excuse me. But the point is, who matters in the Olam HaEmes? Not some YouTube phenomenon, right? The covet of this world, that's not what really matters. And if a person lives a life of emunah, that's what's constantly recalibrating them. And I think you could take it a step even further, which is that a person who lives with strong emunah and knows that they have a deep, real relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that helps them develop a healthy sense of self-worth. And because that spiritual self-esteem is there, they don't need to seek approbation from other people. They don't need to be at the center of attention because they know when they go home and they go to sleep at night, to the Ribbono Shel Olam, they're the center of attention. Right? Why are we looking for kavod? Because we think, well, we'll feel better about ourselves if we matter to that person. If we matter to that person, it'll make me feel better. But why should it matter what anybody else thinks except for the Ribbono Shel Olam? If we really, really have that connection, then we know that, okay, we got a long way to go to develop. We have more work to do. But we know that he's proud of us. He cares about us. He pays attention to me. So then why does it matter whether I'm the biggest star at the Pesach Seder table? If I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing and the Ribbono Shel Olam is proud of me and the Ribbono Shel Olam is paying attention to me, so whether I'm the star at the Seder table or I'm the backseat of the Seder table, if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, then that's what matters to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and I should feel good about that. And so I shouldn't need to seek out kavod to be recognized by this person, that person. It doesn't mean that there isn't a place, I'll get you one second, it doesn't mean that there is a place, that there is no place for a person having recognition, appropriate, healthy recognition, but deep down, we should think about where the kavod comes from. Mi hu zeh melech hakavod? Who is the melech hakavod? The Ribbono Shel Olam gives us our kavod because he pays attention to us. Yeah.
I remember when I first moved to Chicago, I was shocked to see people's names all over the place, on buildings, on doors, etc. And I thought the point of giving stucco was to do it anonymously. And so they explained to me, well, if somebody sees somebody else's name on the door, they're going to want to have their name on the door, so we're going to get more money out of it.
Right. And the Rambam tells us that there are seven levels of tzedakah, and we need to find ways to incentivize people to give tzedakah. And one of the ways is this, but the point is that everybody's in a different place on the journey, right? In this example, in the case of tzedakah, so the kavod is really helpful. The Rambam talks about how we incentivize people in different ways. The Rambam says that when kids are younger, we give them, well, stop. In the 11th century, they would give them nuts. If the Rambam lived today, he would be thrown out of school. You don't give anybody nuts and don't even think about it. don't do that, because you can cause a whole crisis. This is a big 2019 serious situation. So the Rambam is going to be reformulated to, instead of giving them nuts, and you shouldn't, the obesity problem, which is true, both the allergy problem, I shouldn't make a joke, because that's a serious problem, and the obesity problem is a serious problem, but everything in moderation. If you give a kid two candies, it won't kill them, at least according to the dentist that I know. So the Rambam says, when you have kids, you give them, little trinkets. You give them candy. You give them nuts. And he says, when the kids get older, when they're like 65, you give them kavod. Because we talk shelo lishma balishma. So kavod is a very powerful tool. And it doesn't mean that a person doesn't need a healthy dose of kavod. That's why in Chazal, the notion of kavod is actually defined halachically as personal dignity. We call that kavod habrios. If a person finds themselves, Gemara says, in a case where they found themselves in a restroom on a Shabbos, and there's no cut toilet paper, so that could compromise the person's kavod habrios, personal dignity. So if you cut a piece of paper to a measured side, that's an isur daraisa, that's an isur skila, the most severe, severe thing you could possibly do. But if you don't care what size it is, and you cut it with your elbows or with the back of your hand, and you rip it off, that's not an isur daraisa, that's an isur derabanan. So we should not do that. But if a person is in a situation where their kavod habrios, their personal dignity is going to be compromised, so then Chazal says, the Gemara says in Brachos, you can compromise the isur derabanan to preserve the person's kavod habrios. Kavod is essential, right? The kavod comes from our tzelem Elokim, from our spirit of godliness, from the fact that we are a human being. So kavod inherently is not bad, and it's sometimes a good motivator, mitol shelo lishma, when it's not, when we're not ready yet for just being totally altruistic, which I would not want to scrutinize anybody else on that fence, because I'm certainly not there. So kavod plays a good role in life. It just, in what context? Where does it come from? Are we rodev kavod? Is the only thing that matters in our life kavod? Or is the kavod a good, a good healthy thing that keeps us going? The same way that, going to a nice restaurant once in a while in a proper way, so then that also gives us a little bit more chiyus to keep going into the important work that we're doing. So all of these three aspects Rav Volbin is teaching us are reflections of our world of emuna. Our world of emuna, of believing that the true world is spiritual, means that we're not going to be pursuing exclusively or primarily material pleasure. It means that the spiritual world, the godliness that undergirds everything, is connected to me directly. There is hashgacha. And what I have is appropriate to me. And I don't have to be jealous of other people. And that the role of kavod in a person's life is framed by the fact that the Ribono Shel Olam is taking care of me and is paying attention to me. And that's the source of my inner kavod. And that the true kavod that a person wants, if they think about it, if they're Baalei Emuna, is what accomplishment they'll have in the world to come. And that whether somebody receives kavod in this world or the next world doesn't really matter. Because this world is Mi Shetarach Be'erev Shabbos, Yochal B'Shabbos, the Gemara says. Somebody works on Erev Shabbos, they'll have something to eat on Shabbos, they'll have something to enjoy tomorrow. This world is like the Friday. So we're all rushing, and we're cramming, and we're trying, because we recognize that the next world, the Yom Shekulo Shabbos, that's what we're really aiming for. And a spiritual life, a life of emuna, orients us that is really the source of kavod. That's what's important in our world.